Dear God, help us to be built into a spiritual house so that we can offer you spiritual sacrifices acceptable to you through Jesus Christ. Amen. To all of you listening this morning and watching, your clergy and staff want you to know we feel your absence here at the church so deeply. Since one of those awful days back in March when we woke up and initially thought there was simply going to be a great pause from the busyness of our lives, it quickly began to feel like a loss of life like we'd never known. We've had to become a different parent, a different child, a different student, a different graduate, and a different worker. All of us never sure if another day will come as we planned it. It is your presence that makes up the life and community of this place. We miss your voices in worship, and we miss you gathered around the altar. We miss you at community suppers and confirmation classes and church school. And we miss our conversations with you in the parish hall, the Youth and Community Center, and the office. That said, in these weeks while we've been in lockdown at home, we feel your presence too, as we remember you in prayer, as we see your names in Facebook posts, and as many of you gather with us to worship online, not only on Sundays, but on Wednesday mornings and on Thursday evenings. You're present to us in spirit and always as part of the body of Christ. This past week, I was on a Zoom call with a parishioner. We were talking about what we were doing to get through our days and about what we loved and missed most about not being at church. At one point, I asked, "What do you love most about Jesus?" And she said, "Jesus makes us think of good things." Jesus makes us think of good things. That answer made my heart swell with hope, and it's going to stay with me for a long time. And I even wish we could put a banner across the side of our church and proclaim it to all those traveling along the post road, "Jesus makes us think of good things." In so many Bible stories, Jesus was in the midst of people's pain and suffering, and he made them think of good and hopeful things. He offered helpful metaphors to those who asked him questions. And he assures us still that he's the good shepherd, a mother hen, the bread of life, the light of the world, the true vine, the resurrection and the life, and then today, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is forever modeling and showing us how he cares and watches over us. He points us toward good things. He reminds us that as Christ's own, his life already flows in and through us. Just on the heels of bringing Lazarus back to life, being betrayed by Judas and bearing denial by Peter, Jesus' words in today's gospel could not be more appropriate or needed during this pandemic, when we are facing life and death in new and changed ways ourselves. And despite experiencing his own pain and loss, Jesus was still able to muster up the words to comfort his friends. And as he does to us today, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places." While there have been a few desperate moments in my days when I can't help but want to be in other dwelling places rather than in my own house, and what an incredible privilege that is, I decided to turn this gospel passage on its head a bit and think about it in a new and different way. If I can't, in fact, physically change my external dwelling place at the moment, what about the kingdom that Jesus also talks about that is already within us and within reach? And how can each of us use this time right now, when existential questions from cabin fever are bubbling up, to have us thinking more about what others might call our inner chapel, an interior castle or a cave of the heart? In the East, art removes what does not enhance its essence. like a jade sculpture carved in stone. Its beauty is not from extraneous material, but from its absence. What an interesting metaphor for life during this great pandemic. What if we applied this to our lives right now? And what if we took away the parts of ourselves that are not ourselves, using this time to begin chipping away at unhealthy work, relationships, and material things that hide our essence, which is essentially the kingdom of God that is within us? Social scientist and writer Arthur Brooks was a gifted high achiever who at 19 dropped out of college, or was kicked out, if you want to split hairs about it, as he says. He wanted to pursue what he thought was a gift for playing the French horn. And when he was 24, he played at Carnegie Hall, but then he hit a wall. Melodies that were once easy to play became difficult, and difficult pieces became impossible. So Brooks went back to school, changed careers, and fell in love with his new work. He says he would still be a frustrated French horn player if he had not stopped raging against the dying of the light, as the poet Dylan Thomas wrote. So Brooks began chipping away at what was not truly a part of him or his life. "You've got to stop raging," he says. "To rage against change delays progress into new phases in life." And he suggests asking ourselves, "Am I raging and clinging to something that is non-essential? Is now an opportunity to chip away at the extraneous material in your life and work on the sculpture in that interior dwelling place where the true you is waiting to be revealed in the stone?" Stuck at home, many of us are frustrated and raging right now at all that is changing and we are losing. It's real, just as it was for Jesus. His friend had died, another friend had just betrayed him, and another had just denied him. But Jesus chose to think about good things. He offered assurance to not let our hearts be troubled, but to believe in him despite it all. We will never lose or be separated from the love of Jesus, who will continue to show us how to sculpt our way to the way, the truth, and the life in us now. He promises us that if we believe in him, we will also do the good works he does, and will do even greater works. In the day-to-day stories we hear about the suffering of so many others, I sometimes find myself having to stop in sheer helplessness and simply pause in silent prayer. It may not seem like a great work, but sometimes it's all I can do to stand gallantly right where I am, take a deep breath, and hold out my hands with palms up to God, releasing my grief, my rage at things I can't control, and my concern for others. As her beloved grandfather lay dying in the ICU unit, author and spiritual director Becky Eldridge wrote about a prayer she used by St. Francis de Sales. It helped her to hold on to the promises of God when she could not voice the words she longed to pray. It gave her strength and hope, and it got her through moments when she felt she could not go on. Here are the words. "Do not look forward in fear to the changes in life. Rather, look to them with full hope that as they arise, God, whose very own you are, will lead you safely through all things. And when you cannot stand it, God will carry you in his arms. Do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you today and every day. God will either shield you from suffering or will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace and put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations." Jesus says today, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me." Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to a future they could not yet see, and so are we. In the meantime, I pray all of us will begin chipping away at what is not essential in our lives, and we'll discover what is our true and most beautiful essence. And I have no doubt there may even be a sign on the door where that true essence resides, and it says, Jesus makes us think of good things. Amen.